more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's news talk leader, CJAD 800.
That is certainly one of the most recognizable television theme songs of all time, and the person who put that together, who wrote it, the composer himself, is on the program with us right now. His name is Jan Hammer. Hi, Jan, how are you?
Hi, fine. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to have you on the program with us. As I mentioned, that is one of the most recognizable theme songs. I would assume that if you would look back in the history of television, you'd have to put that up there with theme songs like Mission Impossible and Peter Gunn.
Yeah, I guess so. It was just so, you know, so from the left field. It was just wonderful, you know, when it all happened. It was the TV show just came together, you know, and it was very, very unexpected and very original, and it just really took off, and the music, you know, took off with it.
The soundtrack itself seemed to have a life of its own. What was it like? I guess Michael Mann came to you?
Well, I met him through a mutual friend while, you know, they were still putting together the show, casting and all that, and they didn't know what they were going to do musically. All they wanted to do was something totally different from, you know, what TV, quote-unquote, music sounds like. And we were just talking, and I had a piece of tape that I was, of some of the experimental stuff that I was doing at the time, and I just played them, you know, the cassette that I had, you know, with me, and that turned out to be the actual theme that you just heard.
Oh, so it was not a situation where you actually sat down and watched footage and got a feel for something. It was something you'd already kind of created already?
I know that most people don't even know that. It was actually an existing thing that I worked on that I already had, you know, the idea that I had before I even met them, before I even heard the words Miami Vice.
Now, when they put the show together and, you know, put your theme onto it, both the theme and the show took off. Did that catch you by surprise?
Well, I knew it was great. It was really special, you know, because it just the first two-hour pilot really looked more like a motion picture. It did not look like a TV serial, you know. The production values, the acting, the writing, the whole thing was just so few steps above of what, you know, TV looked like. And on top of it, then, you know, the music really became totally hardcore, original, and different, you know. And I think those two things really came together to set it apart.
But what about the fact that, you know, the theme song actually started to climb the charts? I mean, you don't see that very often.
I know, especially instrumental.
Especially instrumental, yeah.
That was really great. But, I mean, I really felt good about that, you know, ever since, even, you know, before it was attached to the show, I really felt good about that piece of music. I had, you know, strong feelings that this could, you know, really do something, and it turned out to be the case.
Well, if the television show itself was not the inspiration for the theme song, then what was?
Rhythm? I think there was a certain type of rhythm that I kept hearing in my head, and I wasn't able to do it until I had the tools to do it with. It was just certain overlapping rhythms that you know, make the thing percolate underneath. And I think that's what gives it the whole different feel. And that's really, I think, where it started from. And I don't know. You know, music and inspiration, those are such mysterious and black magic things. You know, you really cannot put your finger on it.
Now, here we are, what, I guess almost 20 years later.
Oh, really?
And a new CD is coming out, Miami Vice, The Complete Collection. Why now?
Well, it's I know it's a few years, it seems to be a few years too late, but on the other hand, the time is ripe. And there was a, you know, groundswell of interest for many reasons. There was the show started running again, you know, around the world, and here, in the U.S. on PNN, I think, I don't know if it's been run in Canada.
Right, yes.
But that has been happening, and I also started my website where, you know, people actually found me again. after having sort of, you know, in a low profile for a few years. And they started leaving, you know, all these messages where, you know, there's this music that we know and we heard it only once as a part of the show, and we want it, we want to own it, we want to have it on a CD, we want to be able to play it whenever on its own. And slowly, you know, these things sort of accumulated and the critical mass was reached, and I just, you know, I couldn't, that's all I could do. I mean, besides, a lot of those pieces I wanted to do originally, and I just never got around because there was only that many records, you know, over the years that we put out, and then the whole, the interest in the show sort of waned a little bit, you know, came down, and I knew there was all kinds of music that really had to be put out as well.
Now, what kinds of things will people find besides the most, the signature tune on the complete collection?
It's, the range is very, very wide. It's there's so many different styles of music, but they're all tied to specific episodes and specific moods in the long run of the show. And people who know the show, who watched it, will immediately respond, you know, they'll remember and they'll be able to recall all the different moods that this music can evoke. And, you know, there's really, people were able, you know, to leave specific messages like, say, I want to, you know, the show that was in the third year when they were in Haiti and this was going on, and that, or they were on this boat, and, you know, and it's just wonderful that, you know, I was finally able to do it. And
there a lot of times, especially in the 80s and before the 80s, it was a habit in network television that when you had a hit television series and it went into its second year, third year, so on and so forth, that the composer or the producers would in some way, shape, or form tinker with the theme song. Did they ever come to you and say, you know, we need to update it or we need to change it over the lifespan of the show?
No. That would be ridiculous. In this case, it just would be totally counterproductive. You know, it's the theme became such a huge, huge hit that, you know, you could not possibly touch it. But what also helped was that the show renewed itself continuously by treating each week as an sort of an original one-hour movie. So the music was totally new and fresh every week. It wasn't like, you know, again, what is normally done in TV shows, a TV series, is that you have this sort of, you know, small library of themes, and those things get recycled, and there's like, you know, just about every television series has that, where you know, you're going to hear this, and, you know, then when this character does that, this same piece of music will be played. You know, in our show, in the Miami Vice, it was like a new movie every week.
Now, I understand that you had an opportunity to be on the show, but they didn't give you a speaking part.
No, it was what you would call, a cameo. And I was on two shows, and it just so happened that in both instances I was playing a musician at a wedding. And at one wedding there was a complete, you know, shootout where, you know, some bad guys came in and shot lots of people at the wedding party. And the other wedding was the big special episode when Don Johnson's character marries Sheena Easton's character, you know, and that it was like a two or three part show.
We're talking with Jan Hammer, the creator, the composer behind the Miami Vice theme song here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. You mentioned that you kept a kind of low profile for a while after Miami Vice, and people were trying to find out where you were. What were you doing in those intervening years?
Well, I mean, it's compared to what Miami Vice was, which was, you know, a global phenomenon. Anything you do after that has to be considered sort of lower profile. I wasn't exactly hiding. You know, I was doing lots of things. I was, you know, playing, performing, making other albums, writing other movie scores, writing music for video games, do computer animation. You know, I was doing lots of different things. It's just, compared to Miami Vice, it's just, you know, you cannot keep that sort of a profile going.
You've also had the opportunity to score other television series as well, have you not?
Oh, yes. There was quite a few different things, but again, immediately, you know, you are being compared to what you've done before, and these things were all successful, and they were, you know, they were well received, and they were beautiful shows. It's just that they were not anywhere near as popular Icebox.
Now, there is a lot of talk these days that there may even be a Miami Vice movie, a theatrical release at some point. Do you know anything about that, and will you be involved?
I couldn't answer definitely, you know, if I'll be involved or not, but I'm because nobody knows really what shape it will take, because it's not going to be a reunion of any kind, you know, so it's very hard to tell, but I cannot imagine that my music wouldn't be involved in one way or another.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the other music that you have done, because, again, people are so familiar with the Miami Vice theme song. I mentioned earlier that you've had some other work with other television series, both here and in Britain, correct?
Yes. There was one wonderful TV series that I've done in Britain, which was called Chancer, with Clive Owen, you know, the wonderful actor.
Right.
It was ran for 2 years, and I think it's been shown in Canada too.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, so that was quite a wonderful experience, and I've also worked, you know, off and on through the years with Jeff Beck on many of his albums, you know, from the 70s through the 80s, and even like recently, you know, a couple of years ago, I wrote and produced some of his music.
What is your musical inspiration, or your musical background?
Originally, when I came in 1968, when I came to the United States, I was a jazz pianist. That was really all I did. I mean, I was classically trained. I studied, you know, all the serious classical disciplines and classical composition at my major at the University in Prague. But what I did was really play jazz piano. And it wasn't until I got over here that things started broadening out much more, especially when we put together a band called Mahavishnu Orchestra, which sort of changed jazz, you know, beyond, it made it sort of unrecognizable. It sort of was a jazz rock. It became fusion eventually, but I don't like that word. It was just improvisational music based on jazz, but it really took it to another level.
I always find it interesting that, you know, a lot of times you find people who come from other parts of the world who take a look at some of the music that might be indigenous to North America, certainly to the United States, and put a different outsider's spin on it. Would you say that's an accurate assessment of what you did in some cases?
I think it really helped me to be noticed and to cut through, you know, this, because there's crowds and crowds of people who try to make it every year. And they come from all around the world, and they, you know, they either try to totally imitate and blend in, you know, based on their, I would say, I guess, American or whatever it is, the music that they're following, or you bring some original flavor from your own background, and I think that's what I did with, you know, my background in Eastern European music, and I think some of it remained, you know, and gave my music, or whatever I was doing, special flavor that helped me get noticed.
Now, being one of the original members, basically, of the Mahavishnu Orchestra, which basically was jazz fusion, there's always talk that jazz doesn't get the recognition that it sometimes deserves. Do you find that that's a problem?
Well, I don't know if it's a problem or not. It's just a fact that you have to accept, because it is a complicated thing. It's not like fast food. It's not easily digested. You know what I mean? It's not pop. And I like it all. I like to do pop music. I like to do, you know, jazz, rock, and all that. But you have to realize that if you're a jazz musician, your audience is not going to be as broad as if you are, you know, working in simple pop format. Because, it, you know, it takes a certain intellectual involvement and understanding on a little higher level. So that's where, you know, your audience obviously has to get narrower.
Do you find that sometimes it's hard to bring certain audiences with you? You are a person who covers all of the genres of music, and sometimes I'm sure you would like to take some of your jazz fans into your pop world and some of your pop fans into your jazz world, but sometimes they just don't want to go.
Yeah, they have a certain, you know, something stuck up there, you know what. It's sometimes very hard, and people are, you know, they protect their turfs. And the pop fans basically could not be bothered because it's a little bit too complicated, and they say, well, I don't understand it. And then there's the whole purist jazz thing, you know, where, you know, this is, you're selling out. And there's some crossover, obviously, that happens, and that's wonderful. And I've been working that for years. You know, I've been trying to bring the two sides together and cross over somehow, but it's difficult.
How does it feel to have a piece of music, Miami Vice, that really will be standing up to the test of time? I mean, it is immortalized. Everyone around the world knows it. It's recognizable. As I mentioned, like some of the other music, like Peter Gunn, Mission Impossible.
Right.
It'll be around forever.
It is wonderful, but it is also a mixed blessing because it in my line of work, which you know, which is most of the time it's writing music for screen, whether it be TV or movie screen. You get typecast, you know, and it happens to big name actors, and it happens to composers, and it happens to, you know, a lot of creative people. Where it's the simple one word association, and you mention my name, and they say, well, he does that, and I say, do what? You know, I mean, I've been successful with this one thing, but I do so many other things, and it's sometimes very hard to carry that message across.
Is it also difficult sometimes that whenever you do something post Miami Vice, it's compared to Miami Vice?
It is, commercially especially. I mean, you know, it's very hard to meet something that has been so ridiculously successful, you know, and I don't even expect that I'll ever do anything like that. But at the same time, I'll do things that'll be as satisfying and as musically rich, you know.
Well, you know, there's always a chance to do something as popular as that. I did mention Peter Gunn, and, you know, Henry Mancini had a great career before and after Peter Gunn, so there's no reason why it can't happen to you, and it certainly has over the last 20 years. You haven't been sitting around the house doing nothing, right?
No.
Exactly. It is certainly a pleasure to have a chance to talk to you. The new CD, Miami Vice, the complete collection, is out on July 23rd, correct?
And if you're impatient, you can go to my website, janhammer.com, and you can actually buy it, and if you want it signed, you can also get it signed.
Excellent.
So that's for the, you know, for the real fans out there, and for everybody else, you know, it'll be in the stores, as you said, in July.
That's janhammer.com. That's JANHAMMER.com. Jan, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us this evening.
It was my pleasure.